Thank you for listening to this message from Journey Life Center. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at journeylifecenter.org.
Up in the New Testament. So the writers of the New Testament were very familiar with the story, even though Christians today are not that familiar with it. So this might get a little weird, a little deep sometimes, but how many will stay with me? All right, we're gonna get into some things that most Christians don't know or understand. So let's get into it. We better pray first. Amen. How many will pray for me? 15, 20. Okay. Jesus, bless this word as it comes forth. And let me say what needs to be said. Let there be understanding of your word, and let it be applicable to what we face every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church says, amen. Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. Apparently, God had to keep something from the angels, and he probably had good reason. We'll get into that. But my Father only, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So how many know we need to know about the days of Noah? For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Luke 17. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, given in marriage till the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came, destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, kind of sounds like the rapture, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, as it was in the days of Noah. So do we have any idea what that looks like? So let's go to Genesis 6, and we'll go to other scriptures. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth. And by the way, it doesn't take long for a lot of people to be on the planet, especially since they lived 800 or 900 years. I'm not sure how long they can have kids. I suddenly feel sorry for the wives. How many kids could you have in 800 years, and how old is too old? I don't know. A lot of questions there. I told you this would be weird. Daughters were born to them that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. In other words, more than one. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. In other words, I'm not putting up with this forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into, y'all know what that means? The daughters of men. And they bore children to them. So there's a reason why it brings that up. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So these people that were born had different DNA. They were called giants. And some say it's because they were tall, and by the way, they've found bones of 8-foot, 9-foot people. They say there's quite a few in Washington, D.C., but they lock them up and don't show them to anybody. I don't know if that's true, but, you know, I'm going to throw a lot of that stuff at you today. But I'm getting ahead of myself. How long can you stay? Okay. So every culture in the world has superheroes. Hercules. Okay? And every culture, ancient culture in the world, has stories of gods sleeping with earthly women. Every one of them. Isn't that a coincidence? These gods were really angels. And it really happened. And supermen came from it. Okay, how weird are we getting? Are you okay? I mean, if this is not scripture, you let me know. Okay? Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man, see, it wasn't just that they were born, but they were wicked, was great in the earth. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, man and beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I have made them. But Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There you go. But Noah found grace. Thank God for Noah. When we read about Noah, it talks about him being a perfect man. And that's not so much talking about his character. Theologians think what it's talking about is that Noah was one of the few people that hadn't got his DNA messed up. His line was pure. He could trace it back, and there was no angel DNA. He said, did angels have DNA? Well, they're created beings. So there was no DNA. So he and his sons and his three daughters were also pure. So they were chosen. They get to go in the ark, and God wipes out this angel DNA. Okay. Now, what I want to mention here, first of all, is that for many years, archaeologists ignored the fact that there was a great flood. They didn't want to admit it because then that says the Bible's right. We can't do that. So whenever they would see flood evidence, which is all over the planet, they would say it was just a local flood. But if they would be honest about it, all these local floods had happened at the same time. So there's that. But now some archaeologists are coming around to the fact, they won't accept the Bible, but they're coming around to the fact that there was some kind of, they won't call it a flood all the time, they call it a cataclysmic event. Every Sunday I try to introduce a new word to you, okay? Just be glad I can pronounce it. Cataclysmic, a catastrophe event, and they kind of agree on the time frame, and the time frame is basically the time frame that the scriptures give us, which was probably around 2500, 2400 BC. Okay? And that there was a flood, and now some archaeologists are finally admitting it. And one of the reasons they don't want to admit it is because they couldn't find these ancient cultures before the flood. And it's like, duh, they're underwater. These ancient cities, most of them were built along rivers or the mouth of rivers or on the oceans. And the water level now is much higher than it was back then. And now they're starting to find these ancient cities under the water. And they're starting to find them other places where they finally admit the age of it. And here's the thing that's so amazing. These, and maybe you've seen some of these on TV, but they can't figure out how they built it. They can't figure it out. Because it would take modern equipment. These diamond-bladed saws that would cut through granite. It didn't just cut the granite, it was smooth. You can't take a... Because back then, you know, they were cavemen. Ugh. They had to be cavemen back then. And they just had these stone chisels, solid granite. Granite, diamond is, I think diamond is the hardest substance. I think it's like a, let's call it a 10, okay? Granite's like an 8. Their tools were like 6s. So how do you use something that's softer than the rock to break the rock? Because they didn't have iron tools. They didn't have this. But it wasn't just that they were able to cut these things, but they were able to move these rocks. Some of them were 200 tons. I said, well, you know, they had 500 people. And you can't drag a 200-ton rock. Well, they put them on rollers. It would have crushed wood. There's no way, I don't know how in the world they, not just one, but they would move hundreds, carve it out of pure granite, and then they would have the smaller rocks, when I say smaller, and it's not like you got one here and one here, but they would be different sizes, but every one fit perfectly. So some of their rocks had to be carved 5 different sides to meet 5 different rocks around it, and you cannot put a credit card in between them. How in the world did they build these things? But that's not all. Most of these are not places to live. They're temples to worship false gods, but beyond that, what they really are is astronomical. Maybe you'll get 2 words today. They're astronomical in nature. So they're lined up maybe with the winter and spring solstice. Well, now you got 3 words. I'm really going beyond this now. Many of them, not only that, but they would be lined up to certain stars. Okay? In one case I read, it was lined up with a certain star formation that only appeared every 300 years. How did they figure that out? Somebody said, "Oh, that's a pretty thing. 300 years from now, it'll come back. So let's make sure to tell the grandkids. Pass it on to the great-great-great-grandchildren to keep an eye out for this 300 years from now." They had information. They knew the earth was round. They had information, astrological information, that we really didn't figure out till recently. And we have all kinds of tools to figure that out. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this proves Genesis chapter 6. Because what really got God angry is that these angels were sharing information. Have I lost my mind, or are you with me? How many know angels know stuff? And they were sharing information. They were the Hercules. They were the superheroes. Some say they were bigger and stronger, too, and could move these things. But we understand that they had knowledge. And a lot of these places, they dig down and they get to the foundation, and the foundations are what I described. But then up above it was a lesser technology. And then above that, in other words, people were getting dumber. After the flood, no angels. And they began to lose that information, and people got dumber and dumber and dumber until we get to our day where people are actually stupid, actually. I don't know that we're getting better. I don't know that we're getting better. Oh, Jesus, help us. So they had knowledge. Listen to this. Architecture, astrology, mechanical information, how you move things and put things together, geology, they knew rocks, geometry. They had to have mathematical skills, engineering. They had to have knowledge of all this stuff in order to make these happen. And archaeologists are just going like, they just ignore it. They say, well, isn't that, there it is. We can tell you how old it is. That's about it. But Genesis chapter 6 said they had information. Now, I know what you're thinking. How do angels do this? But how many remember in Scripture there are plenty of examples of angels taking on human form? There are actually examples of it. How about Abraham with the three guests? They were angels. He didn't know it at first. They disappear. I go, oops, those were angels. In fact, the book of Hebrews picks up on that, and it says, always be good to strangers, because you may be entertaining angels unawares. Apparently, it happens quite often for him to bring it up. You need to be good to everybody, because one of them might be an angel. Come on now. How about Lot in the Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The angels are pulling people. Come on, get in here. So they're physical beings, but they're angels. Don't ask me to explain that. I'm not going to do it. Jacob wrestled with an angel. Some people say, well, it was in his head. Well, I got you now. No, he wrestled. He pinned him down. Let me go. How would you like to wrestle with an angel? Joshua spoke with angels. Mary saw an angel, New Testament. Spoke with him. Come on. How about Peter? Peter's locked up in the jail. Huh? An angel taps him on the shoulder. Wake up, buddy. Get your blankie. Let's go. I got to put some humor in this because this is too tight. Amen. And here's the best part of that. Peter goes to the prayer meeting. And he knocks on the door. Right? And the gal comes to the door and opens it up. It's Peter. Doesn't let him in. That's what gets me. She runs back to the prayer meeting. It's Peter. He's at the door. And here's their response. They didn't believe it was Peter. They thought it was Peter's angel. They had more faith to believe it was Peter's angel than Peter himself. So how many angels were they seeing? Come on now. And finally someone said, let's let him in. Wow. Three things the flood brought in. Number one, it was a violence. It was a time of great violence. Remind you of today? It was a time, number two, of sexual perversion. Anybody think that's going on today? But the one that really got God was they messed with the DNA. And created a superhuman. And today, all we hear about is how they're manipulating DNA. And their dream is, in the future, when you're, or even before you get pregnant, you'll be able to manipulate the DNA so you can have a child that looks like this or that or whatever. And they say, we got to do this because we can actually manipulate the DNA so there's no diseases and blah, 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 blah. It sounds good. But you're messing with God's creation. And it didn't go well the first time. And it's not going to go well this time. This is the day and the age in which we're living right now. And believe me, there are companies. I will not invest in a company that does DNA research. And we need to stay away from that. We need to understand these companies are making a lot of money and they're making progress faster than you can possibly understand. It's coming. They're messing with the DNA, wanting to create the perfect human as if, you know, God created the perfect human. We messed it up. Sin messed it up. It wasn't DNA. It was people that messed it up. Oh, Jesus, help us. Now, are you okay? The flood was a real thing. And historians, as early as Josephus, one of the first, he was a Jewish person, but he's one of the first persons in history. He lived, I think he died in 130 A.D., not long after Christ. So there were still people alive who had met Christ that Josephus wrote. And Josephus wrote a history of the world. First time anyone actually wrote things down like that. And he mentions the flood. Now, scientists think Josephus did a pretty good job, except for that flood thing. It's crazy. So we get historians beginning to talk about this. All right. In the New Testament, if I could do a couple things today, I help you to understand there really was a flood and what the results of it were. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. So this is New Testament. Peter's talking about this. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Now, hold. Notice there is an ancient world. Notice what happened to those angels. They were delivered to hell. They're in chains. They're in prison. To this day, they're in prison. They're locked up. At some point, they will be released. Maybe on good behavior. But they're going to be released at the end of the world, and guess what? They haven't changed a bit. They're going to be glad to be out, but they're going to be troubled again. But they'll be thrown into the lake of fire eventually. So the angels that rebelled are locked up. And sometimes we get this confused. We think that demons are these angels. No, no, they're locked up. So this is where it gets weird. Where do demons come from? If all the angels that rebelled are locked up today, where do demons come from? And they're not ghosts. Ghosts are different. Ghosts are supposedly some relative of yours dies and you get to speak to them and, you know, do a seance or something. Or something's haunted. So there's this thing about ghosts. I don't think they're your relative's spirit. I think they're demons. What's the word? Mimicking or they're intimidating too, but they're mimicking, impersonating. There's the word. Do I have a five here? Yeah, that's cheap. I know, right? Glory doesn't give me much money. I don't know. If you do pastor appreciation, just hand it to me privately, okay? Oh, bad pastor. She's not in here. Oh, she's got spies. Misty, please leave. I'm just kidding. She left. She's probably going to get Gloria as much as she's going. Where was I? Impersonating, yes. So, but there is one example in scriptures of somebody coming back from the dead in the Old Testament with Samuel. But he's like shocked, and it's like you're breaking the law here. What are you doing calling me back? So it was weird. So I don't think your relatives are coming back. But demons, yeah. Yeah, demons, yeah. So where did demons come from? And the only here's what I think. I can't prove this, but this is what I think. That the offspring of these giants and the angels, when they died, since they are part angel, they're the demons. The offspring, these giants that were in the land, when they died, they become the demons that now afflict us. So now do you understand maybe Genesis 6 is important to understand what it is and who it is that gives you all those headaches and problems and temptations? Is everybody okay? So I can't prove that, but I don't know what else they would be unless the angels had another rebellion, but the scriptures don't imply that. Okay? Are we okay? Jude verse 6. You can pick any chapter you want. It's verse 6. Any chapter. I know some of you are like, there's only one chapter. All right. From Judah, a loving servant of Jesus, the anointed one, brother, I'm writing. That's not it. Not one. It's verse 6. It's a good verse. I could preach that. So Jude chapter 6. I mean verse 6. It could be chapter 6. As long as you get verse 6. All right. While they're looking for that, I'll just read Genesis 6, verse 11, okay? You guys keep looking for it. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth. Indeed, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. By the way, they really, and I think they have, I think they have found Noah's ark. Have you all seen that? It's way like 17,000 feet high. Someone said, well, someone just built a boat. You don't build a boat on the top of a mountain. Then someone say, how are we going to get it down? So it had, the waters had to be that high at some point to leave a boat there. And when they looked at the depression, of course, it's all filled in with dirt, and a lot of it's rotted away. But when they looked at it, it's exact, you know, 500 cubics by whatever it was, 70 cubics wide. It's the exact dimensions as in the Bible. It says as they looked at it, they could tell there's three levels on it, and they can see that there's, when they did the ground-penetrating thing, they could see right angles and rooms and so forth, so it's not man-made. So they think they found Noah's Ark. Isn't that cool? And it's also interesting when they trace back migrations of people, they think that people migrated from a place just south of there. Oh, really? And they said at one time all the languages were just one language. Really? How is that? If you got these apes becoming humans, wouldn't there be a lot of variation about how languages developed? They always thought that there would be a lot of languages. No. They keep tracing it back. They said there was only one language. And then for some reason, at a place south of where the ark was, Tower of Babel, they said languages started changing. Scientists are proving the Bible. Thank God they don't read it, because they would hide that information, you know. But we know it's true. I mean, it just bless. I don't know if it does anything for you, but it blesses my heart when the scientists discover the Bible's right. Come on, give God a praise, amen. You can trust it. You can trust the scriptures, amen. All right, are you still here? Okay. So we've come to the conclusion that angels gave knowledge, technical skills, astrological skills to this ancient generation. I can go on and on, talk about these cities that they built, how amazing they are, how impossible it is for them to build it. I don't think they even have enough people in one place to build these things. But there really was an intersection of angelic beings and humans that created giants. And we need to understand that. And we need to look at it, because even today, we're starting, you know, we understand the influence of that. How about another weird scripture? How many, I don't know, you could put it up, but I won't read it all. How many remember that scripture where Paul says women should wear something on their head? And men, it's a shame for men to do it. You know, men should not wear hats while praying and in the sanctuary. But women are supposed to be covered. I'm looking around. Not a one of you. Just hold your hand up here. And Paul says, why? He says, because a woman's hair is her glory. And it's deeper than just the word glory. Are there any kids in here? Are you okay? Her hair is actually her appeal. Sex appeal. Let me just say it. I can get worse than that. I could say it's sexual. I could say that. We're all adults here, right? You hear worse than that on the sitcoms. All right. So Paul, then he says this weird thing that in all my years I have never understood, and I've never found anyone explain it. But he says women should cover their head because of the angels. And I thought, okay, what do angels have to do with this? And apparently Paul's thinking back to Genesis 6 when these angels were attracted to beautiful women. And he says, we don't want that to happen again. So y'all know what you're doing now when you don't cover your hair. You got angels lusting. I mean, we got issues here. Did you ever think I would preach something like this? But it's true. That's what he's referencing. So I guess maybe it's possible it could happen again. And why not? Angels are free agents. They can choose to rebel. So that's why women are supposed to cover their glory, because it's sexual. And, okay, there we go. Men, ain't nothing sexy about your head. I tell you, there's no one's looking at your head, your hair, or lack thereof. saying, ooh, no, that's not happening. All right. Larry, how do I get out of this? You can't help me. And there's nothing about your head that's, no, there's, no. There is nothing there. All right, now you're going to appreciate women's hair in a whole different light. A whole different light. But anyway, that's the truth. One more example, and there are many that the New Testament writers are aware of Genesis chapter 6. And that's when Jesus was near Mount Hermon. How many remember in the scriptures the transfiguration? How many words have I given you today? The transfiguration, when Jesus took the two disciples up on the mountain and he transitioned. That's not the right word, is it? I've lost Ben. He didn't transition. You see, these people have taken over our vocabulary. We can't say anything. Transformed into his glorious state. I'm done. This is done. Right, his clothes were like white as lightning and all that stuff. Okay. And he did it on a mountain, and where he's at the time, doesn't say this in the scriptures, but we know about where he was. He took them to the top of Mount Hermon. Now, did I mention the book of Enoch? I haven't mentioned that yet, right? That's a book. It's not in the scriptures, but they really went back and forth on it, and it almost made it into the scriptures. But that doesn't mean you can't read it. How many know we read other books that aren't in the scriptures? There's nothing in the book of Enoch it doesn't contradict. Words I shouldn't know are popping into my head. But words I should know. So there's nothing in the book of Enoch that contradicts the scriptures, okay? So there's no reason why you can't read it. It's very fascinating. It describes in detail Genesis chapter 6 and gives us a lot more information on the angels and how all this happened and what. It's really cool. You could download it on your Kindle and read it. I encourage you to do it. It's fantastic. But the book of Enoch tells us that where the angels came down to earth was Mount Hermon. That when they came down, now, how many know pagans built these temples usually on mountains or high places? And now scientists will agree, and there's a lot of science behind it, I won't get into it, but there are places on earth that have more energy than other places. Okay, that's just scientifically proved. Probably has something to do with the minerals in the ground or whatever. But usually it's on a mountaintop, you know, Stonehenge, all these places. When they measure it, and somehow, maybe thanks to the angels, people figured out where these places were. Okay, and let me put it the way they would put it. They believed there were places on the earth where the connection between heaven and earth was thinner. Does that make sense? And they think they could reach the gods. Now, people will say dumb things like the Tower of Babel, that God got upset because they were going to build a tower that was too high. No. Our towers today are much higher than Babel. It wasn't that they were going to build a tower to reach the sky. God knows we can't do that now and never will be able to until the new heaven and the new earth comes and he builds one 1,500 miles high. Woo! Can you imagine that elevator ride? Or you can just go floor 15. There you go. Woo! Glory to God. I can't wait. Amen. You just pop in anywhere. Beware. Y'all aren't praying for me. The concern wasn't how tall the building was. The concern was that they were trying to invade heaven, spiritually speaking. They were trying to get knowledge. Not enough angels. Let's build a tower that can spiritually pierce heaven so we can steal knowledge. That's what Babel was. And God said, if I don't do something about it, they will accomplish it. And people today are spiritually hungry, but they're not looking for hunger. They're not looking at it from it. They're not trying to get it from God. They're trying to get it from demonic sources. And there's a price to be paid for that. The old thing about selling your soul. Literally, yeah, you are. So they were willing to sell their soul to build a tower that would be closer to heaven, as it were, and be able to appropriate energy from heaven and find information out, because that's what the angels did and what the angels provided, the fallen angels, before the flood. So here we are. And God said, no. Boom. And I'm going to confuse their languages because unity is what gets things done. So I'm going to confound their languages, right, so they don't understand each other. So they spread out, split up, and hopefully that won't happen anymore. But people today are right back there again. Come on, church. Mount Hermon, watch this. Mount Hermon was their base. And Jesus takes them up on Mount Hermon. Whew. And is transfigured before them. Wow. And a voice comes out of heaven. You see, the Lord doesn't mind going at the heart of the demonic and say, watch this, devil. This is my territory. I don't know what your Mount Hermon might be. I don't know what places are insurmountable, what things are coming against you in your health or your finances or your marriage or your family or whatever it might be. Whatever your Mount Hermon is, God can camp right in the middle of it. Hallelujah! Those demons are like, what is he doing here? This is our territory. He didn't just go there. He transformed himself. Woo! Did I get it right, Ben? Transformed himself. Jesus help this preacher. Y'all be wanting to fire me after this one. Stand to your feet or I'll just talk forever. Oh, Lord. So that's Genesis chapter 6.